Well, we're in a series, They Promised Me Chocolate, and today we want to talk about a fact that I think gets in the way of us really enjoying the life God intended. And here is the fact that bigger isn't always better. As a matter of fact, the older you get, the more you realize that bigger is seldom better. But we have the idea in America that if it's not big and expensive, and if it doesn't come with payments, then it's not worth it. Truth of the matter is, the smaller, the more invisible, the less they can be contained, the more enduring those qualities and gifts are. Think about it. Have you ever heard this saying? They brought a knife to a gunfight. When I think of that, I think of what we're getting ready to read in the book of Luke, when God looked at this dark world in crisis and decided to act in a loving way, he sent. Well, let's read it. It says, an angel assured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem. Now, the Savior, the Messiah, all of these were official titles. And to be born in the city of Bethlehem, every Jew understood that that was a prophecy. And to be born in Bethlehem meant that the Messiah was on the lineage of David, which was another prophecy. So this is a very official, serious announcement. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. And then it says, this is what I think about bringing the knife to the gunfight. You will find a baby. Really? That, don't tell me God doesn't have a fantastic, well-developed sense of humor. Into a world in crisis. Into a world when the people of God, the Jews, were being killed and robbed of their land and demoralized and raped. They were being taxed out of existence. Into this dark world in crisis, God sends a baby. God, what are you thinking, you know? The Savior comes as a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace and on earth to those who God is pleased with whom God is pleased. So here's the announcement that God is now going to save us from ourselves. And the way he's going to do that is send us not a king on the throne, not an army, not Darth Vader who'd gone through a salvation experience and now wears white, a baby. Not a gun, not a theological, seminary, not an educator, not a president, not a candlestick maker, not a Boy Scout troop leader, a baby, a baby. And that becomes the story of how God redeems the world to himself. And what you find in this is that God doesn't always do things the way we think they ought to be done. His rescue doesn't come in these big, flashy ways. As a matter of fact, you learn really that the very best things in life, one, can't be contained. And don't we love containing things? That's why we love Christmas. So we can buy stuff, buy containers for our stuff, and rent places to put the containers of our stuff. Can I hear an amen? I mean, we love stuff as long as it can fit in a plastic container and stack it up and label it. We love stacking all our stuff. We've got containers for everything, right? We are Tupperware people. Yeah, praise Jesus. You know, if it's plastic and it can be hermetically sealed, we want it. We don't know what we're going to do with it, but we want a container for all the cool stuff we have. We want a container because that way we can own it and keep it, not chip it and break it. And, you know, it will always look like new. Right? And when you find sometimes that the stuff that you save for, a better day, that better day never comes. The best things in life cannot be contained. They're big. They break out. The best things in life cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. I mean, that's how we are. We want to earn everything. And there's a good part of that. I mean, there are enough lazy people among us, can I hear an amen, who want to be carried. So people who want to earn their way, we like those people. We celebrate those things. But, you know, you cannot earn the best things in life. You cannot earn God's love. You cannot earn God's favor. You can't just earn. And, you know, Henry Ford said that a business that only makes money is a poor business. Amen. I mean, there's more to life than just earning stuff. And here's the thing about the best things in life. Not only can they not be contained, not only can they not be earned, they cannot be lost. They can be surrendered. You can surrender your joy. You can surrender your peace. You can surrender your confidence in Christ if you have it. You can let this stuff go, but you can't lose it because God's not an Indian guy. That's what my brother and I used to call ourselves. I know it's probably a bad thing to say. Remember all the stuff you said when you were a kid? You didn't know it was salacious. Yeah. You just thought it was innocent. Oh, you're an Indian giver. Well, I guess that's a bad thing. Stingy gut. That's probably prejudice against big people. I don't know what it is. I just think, you know what, really? I mean, this is kind of how we were as kids. So, I told you a couple of weeks ago, one of the best talks I've ever given in my life, and I know that you appreciate this, the five best things God never said. Y'all remember that? No one in the first service did, so evidently, you know. God never said you wouldn't feel lonely, just that you would never be alone. God never said that you would have all you ever wanted, just that you would have all you would ever need. God never promised that you wouldn't get hurt, just that he would get you home safely. God never promised that your life would be easy, just that the struggle would be worth it. And God never said that you wouldn't lose, just that nothing of significance would ever be lost. I mean, we lose constantly. We lose, you know, you think about it, you lose your looks. Can I hear an amen? Some of you are faster than others. I mean, let's just be honest. God is watching. I mean, Paul and I went to a wedding last night. You know, they look beautiful and stuff. I'm sitting there thinking to the guy, look at her now. This is the best she's ever going to look. No, Paula told me to say that. I didn't really think that. She just said that. Of course, you look at the guy, you know, he's in rented clothes. You know he's the best he's ever going to look. Rented clothes, they will be returned. They took a ton of pictures because we know you will never look this good again, right? I mean, you know, we lose our looks. We lose, you know, our youthfulness. We lose so many things. We lose family members. And this week, you know, this year, my mother passed away. Now all my family is, you know, in heaven, hopefully. And, you know, and so you lose stuff. But the thing is, there are things that you will never lose. And they're God's best gifts. So as we come toward the end of this series on disappointment, I want to give you eight of God's very best gifts, and these gifts never, ever disappoint. They're yours to have, to enjoy, to embrace, to savor, to take out of the container, to use them to live the life God intended. You can take them off the shelf. You can live in these things. These things will work. They will carry you when nothing else will. When everyone else runs away, these gifts of God will hold you fast. The very best gift that God has ever given you or me is the gift of election. The gift of election. And that drives a lot of people crazy when you talk about God's predestination and election. But let's just read what it says. And those that God predestined, he called, kaleo, to call, it is an official call. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, it doesn't say in those he justified, he will one day glorify. It says he has called us, he has justified us, and glorified us. It all is ours. It isn't all experientially ours yet because we have yet to pass into eternity, an eternity so amazing that when God chose a word to describe it, it was glory. Glory. I mean, there are some glorious days on this planet. You know, the glory, well, you know, I'm going to be there today. The Titans win the Super Bowl. Wouldn't it be amazing if we came back and won the Super Bowl this year? That would be glory. The day you get a raise, that's glory. The day you fall in love and find the love of your life, that's glory. I had a couple leave in the first services. We just found out yesterday we're going to be grandparents. That's glory. You know, and God says, you know what? As great as life can get, it as good as it can get, there is an existence. There is a place toward which we are moving that is always glory. And so the gift of election, the God that loved me and chose me and has called me, and he's, and you ask you this question, you know, am I elect? I don't know. Are you? Do you respond to this message? Does the love of God pull you? Do you sense the presence of God, the call of God? When you do wrong, do you feel bad? Do you call, is there something, is there an inner thing inside that pulls you to believe God and to trust him and to rely on his love? Then yeah, you probably are elect. If this message basically makes no sense for you, you're probably not. This probably doesn't work for you. You know, what can you do? I don't know. You were born a bad day, dude. You know what I'm saying? We have this idea that God just loves everybody and everybody's going to be in the heaven. No, they're not. Not everybody's going to be in heaven. Wish they were. Wish they were, but they're not. Not everyone's going to make it. Now, who's going to? I don't know. The elect. Are you in the club? I hope so. I hope so. God has offered that. And, you know, whosoever will may come. How do I reconcile that with God's election? Don't have to. Thank God. I didn't write the book. I'm just enjoying. It's an owner's manual. I'm just saying, yeah, okay, well, I'm elected. I've responded to his love. He has called me and justified me. And I am, as my old buddy Jerry Falwell used to say, I'm as good for heaven as though I'm already there. So I'm going to walk in that every day. I understand. I live every day in that constant sense. That is a gift from God. When God said, I knew you, I loved you, I sent a baby to rescue you. I do things that you would never expect. I do them better than you have ever predicted. You are more sinful than you ever dared confess, but you are more loved than you've ever dared hope. I embrace that and love that. And it's one of the greatest gifts of my life. When everything else fails, that holds. Gift number two. Is a result or an outgrowth of gift number one, and that is the gift of God's inner peace. Listen to what Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be," what? Afraid. It's his peace. And we ought to unwrap it and live in it. He says, I give it. He said, it's not a peace that comes and goes and is up and down. It's a peace. It's like discovering something you didn't know you had. I was going through one of my Harley coats the other day, and I put it on to see how it fit. And I stuck my hand in a pocket, and there was an envelope in one of the pockets. And had this jacket on him a good while. And so I pulled out, it was an envelope. Inside of it was a gift certificate for $200. Oh, yeah. To a Harley store. Yoo! It was due to expire tomorrow. Oh, yeah. I went, the Lord led me to the Harley store. And I saw two gifts that I was predestined to get. Man, that felt good. I felt good, but I realized more, I got to get my honey over there. We act that way with God, don't we? That his gifts come to us with expiration dates. Oh, God loves you, but, you know, if you don't stop smoking them non-filter camels, you know what, you're going to go to hell. You may not go to hell. You may smell like you've been there, and you may go to heaven before the rest of us, you know. Or, you know, 1,000 things that we condemn, especially those things that we don't do, that disqualify you for God's love. We don't know all those things. And God says, you know what? I love you. I called you. I elected you. And Jesus says, as a gift, I've given you my peace. It's a peace that doesn't come and go. It doesn't have an expiration date, and you don't ever, if you evoke this and use it, put it on and wear it, if you put it in your life every day, you will never have to spend another day being afraid. But oh, aren't we? I mean, just listen to people every single day of your life. And what do you hear them say? I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'm going to gain weight. Well, stop fearing it and do it. What's the big deal? I'm afraid I'm not going to lose weight. Well, if you lose weight, you'll gain it back. Just keep it the first time. Just save yourself the sweat. Eat the chocolate. Can I hear in a minute? Eat the chocolate. There'll be more, but just go ahead and eat the chocolate, right? Are you going to be afraid? I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I'm never going to find anyone. I'm afraid my marriage won't last. I'm afraid my kids won't get in school. I'm afraid they won't. I'm afraid that I'll wear the wrong clothes. You will. I'm afraid I look fat in this. You do. I mean, seriously, we afraid ourselves into a corner and we wonder where God is. And God is, you know, I've given you the gift, but you put it in a container somewhere. Right? You won't use it because you think that you're not worthy of it. I've already told you, as an act of my love, I came as a baby to be a savior and to fulfill prophecy, to grow up, to earn your salvation, to earn your forgiveness. I died on a cross. I was resurrected. I stand at the right hand of God. I'm coming one day. I am the Lord of creation and I love you. Now, if you don't believe that, yeah, go ahead. If you're going to clap, go. Don't get me started. We'll be here till the Titans halftime. Man, we can't afford that. Two of God's very best gifts. Election. I know I'm loved. I don't deserve it. Nothing about me deserves it. But God found a Bubba from Barron County and said, I'm going to love you. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you life. And then the third best gift that God gives any of us on this planet is the gift of meaningful work. And people should, I love it, and people should eat. Woo! Why is there more shouting? Eat! It is not God's will that you diet! Eat and drink! Drink! Drink it up, boys and girls! Lap it up, drink it up! Eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of your labor, right? Huh? Enjoy the fruits of your labor. For these are gifts from God. Eat, drink. Why do we get so worried, don't we? We get so tied up. We make everything such a monumental thing. We're going to live or die. Oh, God, I can't find anybody. Can I go get married? And then when you get married, oh, God, why did you let me marry this person? Hello? You want a job? Oh, God, I don't need a job. No, Lord, I just have the wolves at the door. Lord, just help me get me a job. And then he gives us a job. Oh, God, why did you give me a job like this one? Grow up! Thank you. Eat, drink, enjoy life. You know, you ain't going to make it out here alive anyway. Eat meat, God's will. Eat meat, God's will. I mean, if we weren't supposed to eat meat, cows could run faster than they do. You say, well, that's stupid. You're supposed to eat well, eat good so you can live longer. For what? To be worried about the life you're not living now? Give me 10 more years of this mess, Lord. Let me eat rice cakes and be miserable on this earth. 25 more precious years. Really? Really? There's anything my mother and father inspired me to do is they both worked to the day they died. And I think they lived as long as they did because they had meaning for them, meaningful work. Wasn't meaningful work to me. My dad retired to mow yards. That's hell. Wasn't to him. He loved it. My mother worked at a place where she could deal with people until, you know, the day before she died. They love and meaningful work. Listen, think, the three best gifts God will ever give you is his elected love, his peace, and meaningful work. Are you with me? I mean, that's it, man. That's the meat of the matter. And if you know that you are chosen, that God knows you, loves you, and has chosen you, elected you, justified you, you have no condemnation before God. You're going to stand. You are as in good for heaven as you're already there. You've already been glorified. That no one can take from you what God wants for you. I didn't read the rest. rest of that verse, but it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Foster's translation, if God is for us, who cares who's against us? There'll be all kinds of people who will line up against you. Who cares? Who cares? Listen, if the whole world sings your praise and God doesn't know your name, you're screwed. And if God loves you and knows you and has elected you and the Messiah, and no one ever knows you, in heaven you will be honored and you will be glorified in the presence of the angels. You will know something and experience something and be something that none of them can ever be. And that is a redeemed child of God. Woo! Yeah, baby. Now, this stuff is either all real or all fake. So if it's all fake, you just sing, you God bless you, you did your Christmas duty and came to church. But if it's real, this will change your life. God's three best gifts, his elected love, his inner peace, and meaningful work. Now, there are other gifts that God gives us. There's like, it's like, you know, when I was raised in a time when you didn't know certain foods weren't good for you. I figured this, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and I'm wrong about a lot of things, so leave me in my delirium. But if God wanted food to be good for you, he'd make it taste good. And food that don't taste good can't be good for you. That's my theory. The one thing I remember about my childhood is my father and mother would cook. Breakfast was the deal. You know, one time a week, it was breakfast. And we had it on Sunday afternoon after church. And breakfast is such a good meal. Why relegate it to the morning when you are in a stupor? Why not eat it when you're wide awake? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had these homemade biscuits? I'm not talking about these biscuits. I mean, I'm for Cracker Barrel. I think they ought to stay open. But I'm not talking about these big old fat biscuits that you get at Cracker Barrel. I'm talking about these little thin. Have you ever had the thin ones? You know what I'm talking about? The show enough homemade. And then to that was gravy. And I don't know. I didn't know what red eye gravy was until later. Oh, gosh. I didn't know. How dumb. I'm from Barron County. Boy, I'm slow as a stump. And so, but they take red eye gravy. And if you know what that is, ask somebody. I'm not telling you. You find out the same way, ruin your life the same way it did mine. And then my mother would take gravy, milk gravy and that, and put together and put on those biscuits. Oh, gosh. And do you know how to eat that stuff? If you're from the north, where you have the frou-frou-frou, you know? Have you ever been in a frou-frou restaurant? Whatever, you know? These people don't deserve to live. Bottom of the food chain, as far as I'm concerned, you know? So you know, and you take that, you open those biscuits up, right? When they're hot. Paula was talking, we were talking the other day, my dad used to take, he used to make them, and then he would take biscuits and set them on the side and put them, just some for him, you know, just a little, you know, and he'd put butter on them, you know. So we'd open them up, you put butter on them, and you slather, that's the word, it's a word, it's in the Bible somewhere, slather the gravy on, right? My brother, God rest his soul, would take his biscuits and open them and make sure that the two halves were broken apart, that they didn't touch each other, that they were at the hermetically sealed magnetic north of the plate. And then he put a dollop, that's a word, not in the Bible, dollop of gravy in the center of his biscuits, being oh so careful that the biscuits not roll over onto the plate. As though they gave some kind of award away for this. That's why we hated each other. There are a lot of people I have met who are just like this with God. They want just enough of God to fit on the center of their biscuit. That way they can have the presentation just like they want it. Here's the problem with God. Write this down. Believe me now, hear me later. God never comes in to help. He comes in to take control. Which means that life will get a little messy. But he's given us some gifts. The best gifts, the biscuit gifts, you know, his elected love, his inner peace and meaningful work. And onto this, he slathers some more really a great gifts. And they're kind of, here they are. Here's gift number four. It's the gift of laughter. That's a slathering gift. That's a pile on the gravy gift, right? Laughter. Think about laughter. Nobody ever had to teach you to laugh. You just laughed, right? Huh? You just did. And when you laugh, you have fun. That was another thing you shouldn't do. That'll send you to hell. Having fun, right? And yet, listen to what the scriptures say. A cheerful heart is a good what? Medicine. Seven times it says in the book of Psalms, make a joyful noise. You know what that is? Laughter. Seriously. Laughing. That's a gift. It's a gravy gift, man. That's just gravy. Right? I mean, the biscuit gifts are God's elected love. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, that's probably ham. That's a ham gift. Again, that's another thing you're not supposed to eat, right? Some of you people are going to be dying healthy, and we're going to laugh at you. What's he dying of? Absolutely nothing we can determine. God's love, God's inner peace and meaningful work. And God says, you know what? I just want you to lighten up. Here's what I think. Here's God's word for you today. I'll save the world. You enjoy it. How's that? Can we do that? Can we just do that? Amen. Thank you. I'll save people. I'll take care of Obama. I'll take care of all these other people that you think have hijacked the universe. I'll just take care of all this stuff. Or Bush or whoever you don't like this week. You know, you've created God in your own image when he hates the very same people you do. Right? Just laugh, man. Laugh. Listen, laughter is gravy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Who laughs? People who are elected, people who have inner peace and who have something to do, who are too busy doing something to keep their nose in somebody else's business. Can I hear an amen? Here's another gravy gift. Fun. Just plain old fun. You remember when life was fun? Anybody remember when life was fun? Did you remember the day that you didn't know that running with scissors was wrong? Anybody remember that? Oh, did you remember the day that you didn't know that eating paper would kill you? You've eaten paper. Yes, you have. God is watching. You know you have. Really? Seriously? Remember when you had fun? Remember when you didn't know what car insurance was? You remember when you didn't know that gasoline had to be put in a car? You didn't know and you didn't care. Remember that? You remember you didn't know how much the national debt was and you didn't care? Remember when you didn't know that food costs money and you didn't care? Remember when you found out that Santa took cash and you didn't care? Remember those days? Remember when life was fun? When someone else paid the bill and paid the rent and made the universe? Well, you know what? That's still true. It is still true. So now let's have fun. God said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Amen? Let's have fun. God said, I am on my heavenly throne. God's at the wheel. Let's have fun. Let's do what kids are supposed to do. We're God's kids, right? We're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to laugh. Listen, how you remember when, how God is watching. You remember when you thought it'd be a good idea to get married? Yes. Been a long time ago, hadn't it? Remember, he said, oh God, send me the right person. Oh Lord, please, Lord, make sure that she's hot and she looks good and she has a great sense of humor. I asked, you know, girls who get married, say, why do you want to marry him? He's nice. Well, he'll get over that really quickly. So you better jump on to something else, dude. The nice island will sink real quick in here. And amen. Yeah, absolutely. First time he wants what he wants when he wants it. How about, do you know anybody who gets married not having fun with a bored person? No. Remember when you used to have fun and you thought the person you married was really interesting? It's so interesting you want to spend the rest of your life with them. Where do these people go? Where do these people go? Huh? Did they move? Did they move? I mean, did they go to Michigan? Come on, I'll take y'all. I mean, fun. I mean, God's best gifts. I'm elected. I'm loved. I'm justified. I'm glorified. I have His inner peace. I have work to do. When I'm done with my work, I'll be done with this life and I'll go on to something that is so much better than this, that the only word God could think of was glory. It's glory. I mean, think of the best glory day you can think of. And God says, I can top that. So the gravy gifts, fun and laughter. How about this? There's another gravy gift, friends. Amen. Friends. Friends. I tell you what, friends have saved me, man. I tell you what, if I lived on an island by myself, I'd be dead. I just couldn't survive. Are you open to God sending some new friends into your life in 2010, the brand new decade that's coming? People who will love you, take care of you, bless you, helped you to get to where you want to go? Are you so mad and angry and hacked off at all the people who've done you wrong that you couldn't move if God pushed you down a hill? You're calcified, you're mad, you're upset, you're bitter and brittle, and you don't know anything about what it means to love because you've never let God love you. And until you are loved, you have no love to give. How about this gift? The gift of His love. Love never fails. Love never fails. The gift of love. And let me say this to you really quickly. Love is not an emotion. I don't know how many times Paula would have left me if she loved me on the basis of her feelings. Wouldn't you like to live with me every day? I don't want to live with me, but every time I leave, I go with me. Love is a commitment. Love is action. Love is not feeling. Listen, you are not a feeling, acting, thinking. You will never feel your way into thinking the right way. You are a thinking, acting, feeling created in the image of God person. And when you live that way, that's the process of love. Love thinks, it commits, and then it acts, and then it feels. The gift of His love, sacrificial love, love that never fails. And then here's the last one. Here's another gravy gift, and that's the gift of hope. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, and you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one, here it is, circle this, underline a tattoo on your forehead. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Amen. All I got to say is this. God has never let me down. Anytime I've been disappointed with God, it's been me, not Him. If you're mad at God, it's all on you, dude. It's all on you. Well, how can I change? Change your perspective. Change your position. Move to a different place where you can see God from a fresh, new, exciting perspective. Listen, we are, 10 days or so from a new decade. This could be the most exciting decade of your life. You can see more of God in your life, more of His blessing, more of His miracle, more production, more joy than ever before. Our best fun, our best joy, our best days are in front of us if we can find a way to look at that baby and say, that's a Savior? Ain't God cool? Ain't God good? Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to accomplish in every person what you brought us here for. You brought us here to stir us up, to lift us up. You brought us here to break up our fallow ground, our old attitudes and opinions. You brought us here to open up our hearts to laugh again, to have fun again, to hope again, to embrace again, to serve again, to dare again, to dream again, to have a new vision again, to just say we're not going to be in bondage to our old fears and our old habits. We're not going to define life in how much I have and own and control. All of that's going to go away. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for your blessing and your grace on these amazing men and women. I pray for reconciliation and redemption and restoration in their lives. I pray for the hearts of husbands to be turned toward their wives and the heart of wives to be turned toward their husbands. I pray that the heart of parents will be turned toward their sons and daughters, and the hearts of sons and daughters will be turned toward their parents. I pray that you will burn a vision and a dream in the heart of some loved person here this morning, that through your election and predestination, through your love and providence, that they will achieve more than they've ever dreamed. Not because they have to, because that's just who they are in Christ. We're your children, Father. We love you. We're riding on your dime in your car with your gas and your food, and we are loving it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good one.